Is it working? Did it start?
No.
No, because I was going to say, I don't hear anything either. Dang it.
It's just another technical difficulty.
We're doing our best out here, guys.
It's fine. I'll add it in post. Who cares?
No music, no title screen.
We're crumbling.
We're a bunch of goobers. That's all it is. DSZ.
They knew that
you.
Already.
Thank you for being here and putting up with us. We appreciate you. Wow, I just feel weird now without the intro music. But anyway, welcome to another edition of Corporate Crash Course. I'm Cody. I'm the Game Master, and we're going to be playing some more Vazen tonight. Continuing the adventures of our lovely colonists. Ingrid and Eagle. I'm joined by my friends Mike and Zoe. Great. Continuing the trend of you guys not talking during this game.
We are the friends.
As little as possible.
I'm Mike.
Yeah, I'm Zoe.
Anyway.
You broke your train of thought.
Cody, we can't play the game if you don't talk.
Yeah, I know. Although, speaking of adding it in post, I mean, DSZ is the only person here, so why am I even saying it? But we're up on Spotify now, which is kind of cool. It's been a lot of effort, but we've gotten up there and other places where you can find podcasts. So if you're... If you don't enjoy the stream enough and you need more, go listen to the recording after, where I do add some sounds and stuff. I don't know.
Yep.
I gotta save me from myself here.
If you need some background music or sounds while you're, you know, doing your dishes or, you know, getting the cobwebs off your ceiling.
Good joke now and again. Listening back on the Mothership episodes in particular. We get some pretty good ones in there.
You know, every once in a while.
Yeah. I'd say like a good one every like two to three minutes. Which is decent.
Oh, that's actually pretty good. I was expecting you to say 2 to 3 episodes.
No, Mike. Don't be like that. So which one of you two lovely players would like to discuss some of the things that we've done in our playthrough of Vazen so far?
Well, first we came to Canada.
We did.
Which
parted
no
in Nova
issues. Just showed up and then went on our merry way without any deaths whatsoever.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or marriages for ourselves.
Or marriages.
Yes, marriages. Yeah, the marriage would have been cool, though. That would have been fun to continue to play.
We ain't here for a ball and chain, you know?
Down the St. Lawrence to Quebec City.
Yeah.
Where someone was desperate to sleep in a hotel instead of a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Too many paper cuts in the boat, you know?
The problem.
With all that mail stacked up? Mm-mm. Not for me.
Hi, Jocelyn. Thank you for joining, too.
Welcome.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and then we, Eagle may have shot a little person.
Yeah, that did happen.
A little person, yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
instead of picking up a tree, you decided to shoot someone and make them literally just explode.
Well, yeah,
that's right.
like.
And then we moved on to Toronto.
Questioned whether I'd. And then we moved on to Toronto.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Who wants to stick around after shooting a little person? Not us.
Oh well. Anyway, yeah. So we're gonna start off, with this. Mike, are we hearing noise again? Is it working?
Doesn't look or sound like it.
Doesn't seem like it's working. I'm just having great luck with this tonight, aren't I?
Luna's mad tonight.
Yep. She doesn't like me.
We used our sound bot.
I don't know how our song.
No, that wasn't. I think he's going for
ambiance now.
I'm just trying to put ambiance on, yeah, and it's not working. So everybody just imagine.
Make like leaf rustling noises and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
imagine village
Toronto. We could just have the sound of cars driving by, and
it's not that into the future. Wrong timeline.
So, horse and buggies driving by over cobblestones, still probably swearing at each other and stuck in gridlock traffic in the same way.
Clip clop, clip clop, clip clop.
Raccoons in the dumpsters. Yeah.
Clip clop, clip clop.
Bingo. Exactly. I feel like
put that on a loop for me, Mike.
Great. I feel like I'm here.
Gotcha. And just add that on a loop and post for me, would you, Cody? Thanks.
I'll try.
Don't you dare do that to me.
Watch. That'll be the spot.
I love that idea.
Don't you dare do that to me.
Ourselves.
This is our in-house Foley artist. She hates her job, but we force her to do it.
They've tricked me.
Yes. Anyway, your boat pulls up, and you all are able to step off into the beautiful city of Toronto. It's a big city by comparison to what you've seen so far. 1850, a lot of Toronto's been built up by that point.
The capital of Canada.
One of the capitals of Canada at this point. Remember we talked about this last time? It rotates?
Yeah.
Kind of weird. It was cool when I found that out. Yeah, it does. It rotates between like Quebec City, Montreal, Toronto, I think Ottawa? Oh.
Where's the capital today in our timeline?
Well, we had said in Quebec that it was moving to Quebec soon. So, I guess now it's in Quebec City. We're gonna go with that.
Lame.
Yeah, sorry.
And when does it become Toronto?
Next year.
Next year?
Well, yeah, it's a lot of logistical work to move the entire running of a country from one city to another city, especially down a river.
Doubt it.
Up a river, I guess, at that point. Up river? I don't mean, man.
Yeah, up river. This is we are now in Upper Canada.
We are.
As it was known before, it was Ontario.
Actually, by this point, it was, I believe it was still British North America. It is not technically Canada yet. And the upper and lower Canada part has been removed by this point.
It was after Upper and Lower Canada. See, I don't remember my history so good.
Correct. I might be talking right out my ass. I think I am, but who cares? So we're in Toronto, which, yes, Mike is right, was originally in Lower Canada. Or was originally in Upper Canada, Upper Canada. But now it is British North America, which is fun. You guys step off your boat to a lively metropolis of a city.
Metropolis.
Yeah, a decent metropolis. People coming and going all over the place. Again, imagine Zoe's lovely clip-clop sounds.
I'm not doing it again.
we have a second rendition, please, Zoe?
You look like you're up to something over there. I'm not doing it.
Like Monstropolis. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, what kind of energy are they running here?
I don't
scream
know.
Power or laugh power?
I think it depends on who they're, like, trying to harness the energy from. If it's from natives, then definitely screaming. But if it's white people, then it'd probably be laughing. Was that too dark of a joke for this?
I don't think anything's too dark of a joke for us here.
No, that's fair. Anyway, you guys step off the boat, and you see an old woman waving towards you. She's wearing a scarf kind of over her hair. And she's waving at the two of you with a handkerchief, and it's just kind of like, you two look like you're not from around here. Must be my the charges I have been entrusted to find.
Okay.
Great. My name is Linnea. I am a guide of sorts and a helper to this society, of which I assume you are a part. Am I correct in that assumption?
Of course.
The Society of Canada?
No, the society, and she winks at you when she says it.
I look back, but I just blink really hard and smile.
Perfect. Okay. I have been tasked with taking you up to your new home of sorts. More like a base camp, if you want to be specific. But ooh, that's fine. Hmm?
A home.
Yes, yes. Where is your luggage?
I just point to the miscellaneous little, like, bags strapped to my person.
Perfect, okay. Let us go get a taxi. And she runs out into the street and is just like, taxi! And stops a horse and buggy and kind of ushers the two of you over.
Is there anything, like, that sets this horse and buggy apart from other horse and buggies?
It's
like, how do I know I'm getting into a taxi buggy and not just a murderer's buggy trying to pass himself off as a taxi buggy?
It's got a little, like, thing sitting on top that says taxi.
Is it spelled correctly?
Yes.
Is it lit up?
Yes.
How would they light that up?
Hold on. I don't know.
It is perfect. Pop it.
I'm not the game master.
Yes, and as soon witchcraft, as Linnea talks I'm to in. Him, as soon as Linnea talks to him, the light goes off.
He's got fairies in there.
Mustache on the front. Yes, the horse has a mustache, of course. That's how we should be concerned about it. Are you guys getting in the horse and buggy? You don't have to.
Yes.
Cool.
What's the inside like? Describe it to me.
It's pretty luxurious. It's the seats are made of leather. They're fairly cushioned, especially after your boat travels for the last few weeks, on which you've been sitting.
Is there a mustache on the front of the buggy?
No.
Or on the horse?
This.
Or
it's
the guy
the
driving
horse. It's on the horse.
Okay. Sorry, I missed it.
Yeah, definitely looks fake.
In one ear, out the other.
Yeah, that's fine. But it has a mustache nonetheless.
What's the guy driving the buggy look like? Like, what's he wearing?
He's a tall, rather slender gentleman. For some reason I have in my head like a chimney sweep outfit. Like it's kind of like a dusty jacket that kind of falls down behind the seat. He's got like a hat, like a flat cap hat on.
Is he so tall that he's like hunched over trying
to? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Perfect.
He's got like a stock of
also wearing a fake mustache.
No, he's got a real mustache.
Oh.
Is the cabbie playing? Ooh. Yes, the music the cabbie is playing. He sings to you songs of the day as you go past. As you drive along.
On the railroad all the long day.
Yes. Have you heard
I like
one
to imagine
before?
He's playing the accordion as he's driving. Hands on the wheel, bud. No clapping.
Oh, right.
Sorry, hands on the reins. Grab
the wheel. Yeah.
Don't grab the wheel. Keep your hands off the wheel. That's dangerous.
So she pokes the cabbie and is just like, Montgomery Inn, we're in for a bit of a ride, so I figure you two must have some questions. So while we're listening to Jimmy Crack Corn on repeat.
Perfect. Love
how
it.
About you take some time and ask any questions that you might have.
How old is the horse on this buggy?
4 years old.
What's the horse's
name? Ask me how I know that.
I don't think that's important.
Okay, you asked what the horse's name is? Jim?
Jim?
Yep.
Jim.
Jim the horse.
Jim Horseman.
Charlie?
Nope. Jim Horse. When his mustache is off, he goes by Charlie.
Are you telling me that this horse lives a double life?
Obviously. All horses do. Is that not known?
I'd like to learn more about Charlie. I punch her in the leg. No.
You gonna punch the old woman in the leg?
No.
Give her a Charlie horse.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
See, Mike gets it.
I got you.
I don't actually. Please don't make me do that. No. I don't want to get kicked out already. We just got here.
James' brother is named Pommel. Yeah, that's a good one.
Eagle, you're up. I've asked all my questions.
No fucking useful question.
They were very useful questions, sir. Just you wait. It's going to come up later, and I'm going to need this information. And you're going to be like, oh, oops.
Yeah, of course.
That's Zoe, always asking the pertinent questions.
I only ask the most important.
Eagle will spend the ride cleaning his weapon.
Well, okay, since you two can't do anything, chat, would anybody who's watching like to ask any questions about what the heck is going on? Because clearly I have two PCs who do not give a shit about this world in which they are entering into.
We know we're in Toronto. We know that Jim's leading us to a new home, and we'll have more questions when we get to our new home. Don't you sass us.
Okay.
You know what we're doing. It's all part of the plan, baby.
Okay. Great. So the two of you sit in silence with Linnea for the ride, which is about an hour, as you head north up. She keeps looking at the two of you and is just kind of like, so yeah, the society, you know, it's a really interesting, it's got some really interesting Swedish history. Maybe some people would care to know about that.
I mean, we're part of the society.
No, Sam, they were in Quebec last time, and then they kept up the river. You gotta keep up, buddy.
After we killed the little man, we kinda had to skedaddle.
Yeah. And Hillary, are you asking if Jim knows any places to stay or to eat? Hard to ask him, because he is currently driving the cart. You can see that my chat is just as relevant as my players are.
asking the pertinent questions.
All of you, especially. And Jocelyn is now asking, do you have any Swedish fish?
I don't, but...
No, the man. Oh. He's too busy singing, so he can't recommend anything.
Yeah, it'd be hard to sing and make recommendations at the same time.
Correct, correct.
When does Jim get off his shift and Charlie come out to play?
8 p.m.? I don't know.
And what hour of the day is it right now?
It is noon.
And we'll get there around 1 then.
Got it. Oh my god, this...
Have you ever heard the expression "enough rope to hang yourself with"?
Notice any landings? So they travel along. Fine, yeah. Thanks, Hillary. I will use that as a segue to talk more about the journey. Fine.
Journey.
We travel along on roads. You kind of are heading west across the lake, and then you hit the Humber River. And you start going north. Partway up the Humber River, you end up finding this small, squat, little two-story inn with a big sign out front that says Montgomery Inn. Montgomery's Inn, sorry. And as Jim pulls over, and the driver goes, thank you for listening. It is with an apostrophe, yes.
Or I-E-S.
No, Y-Y-S. Funny, you're funny.
That's why you keep us around.
So, Jim pulls over, Linnea pays the man, and you guys hop out of the taxi, and she kind of looks at the two of you and she's like, well, that was enchanting. Well,
thought so too, huh?
What?
You thought so too, huh?
Are we outside of a building now?
You are. It's a stone brick kind of looking building. The windows and the roofs are a reddish color. Like I said, it's about two stories tall. It's probably about 30 feet long. And Linnea pulls out a piece of paper and is just kind of like, all right, well, since you two clearly know what you're doing, here's the deed to the inn. The old owner will pop in from time to time. You have to host the council meetings once a month or so. Where the council will decide, you know, what the next kind of mission is. I'm told there's a lot of room in the basement of the building, but otherwise I'm staying out of it. Oh, Linnea, sorry, it's okay, Hillary, that's fine. Linnea was the exposition person that I put in the taxi with the two of them to drop them off to their next headquarters location where they could ask any questions about the setting or... you know, the background or anything like that, and they've candidly refused. She's a lovely old Swedish woman.
All sorts of important questions about the cab that we were in.
I asked many questions. Don't you say I didn't ask. I asked what was important to me. Don't you railroad me.
You were. Anyway.
So, roomy basement, council meetings once a month, got the deed, two stories, 30 feet long, red. Got it.
Yeah, and Linnea's peacing out.
Do we get keys?
Sure, she handed you the keys with the deed.
And... keys. How many rooms do you think are in there?
I hear there's a roomy basement.
I enter the inn.
You enter the inn into a kind of small sitting room.
How many keys are on the ring?
Hillary. They get two keys.
Just two? There's not a key for every room?
Nope.
Oh, dangerous. Of an inn?
Not an inn anymore.
Which inn are we running?
It's not an inn anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they take all the locks off the doors?
Yeah. That's standard practice, you know.
Yes.
You sell a house, you have to take all the locks off the internal door.
Yes, realty law. Absolutely. In 1850. Yes, checks out. They probably took them so they could resell those locks, because, you know, locks are a lot of money. Okay.
So you enter into a kind of low-ceilinged sitting room.
I was really hoping for a giant ring with a lot of keys, like a janitor, but...
No.
No fulfillment of my janitorial dreams.
Every single door and cabinet, and then you can have your giant...
And as you step inside, a man is sitting in a chair and stands up immediately to face the two of you, and is just kind of... He holds out a hand and goes, I'll get Frisk.
Getting frisked?
No, that's my name. I've been steward of this property for as long as I can remember, and I've been waiting patiently for the new owners of the establishment in the hopes that I might be able to stay on, because I love this building so much.
What's the earliest date of your life that you remember?
November 2nd, 1812.
Proceed.
Great. So, can I stay?
I look at Eagle.
I don't
figure you guys might need some help, you know, with the upkeep of this place and...
You can stay, but we cannot provide a lock for your door.
That's fine. I bring my own lock, because that's standard practice. And he pulls a lock out of his pocket.
Perfect. Yes, of course, standard practice to bring your own lock to an establishment.
This Canada is a weird place.
You weren't alive in 1850. You can't tell me otherwise.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Or are you?
No.
You don't know the life I've lived.
I don't, actually. But as you go, as you say yes to Mr. Frisk, he looks at you and he's just kind of like, marvelous! Might we start with a tour of the house?
We've not been here before. Can't give you a tour.
No, I was going to give you a tour. Okay.
You're going to give us a tour of our house?
Yes. Because I have lived here longer than both of you have.
Seems unconventional, but okay.
I'll allow it. Okay. So like I said... you entered in, and the kind of the ground floor of the building that kind of walks you through. There is a main entrance area with kind of a small sitting room. So there's like a couple of tables and some chairs around. He kind of mentions, he's like, well, this is where the council meets every month. Obviously... there will be, hopefully, opportunities for you to join the council if you so desire. Otherwise, you are free to kind of partake in expeditions as they are decided and such. There's, like, a nice little fireplace. Like I said, it's low ceiling, so it's probably only about 7 feet from floor to ceiling.
So we're not on this council.
But that is correct.
Here.
That is correct.
In our inn.
That is correct.
That they just gave us.
Yes. It is a stipulation of the society upon giving you possession of this inn that the council is still able to meet. Did Linnea not tell you that? Did you not ask her any questions about the whole situation? Did you just think you were just walking in and getting a free inn for nothing?
I mean, she really ought to give, like, a pamphlet or, like, a binder or something with all... Because she really... All she talked about the whole ride here was the name of the horse that was pulling the wagon and all the... singing song. Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. Anyway, over here is the kitchen, and he leads you to kind of the other half of the ground floor. Where the kitchen is.
Hang on. So I'm confused. We were given an inn.
Yes.
By a group of people on yes. the stipulation that they can continue to use the inn.
Yes.
Are they only using one room or do they have to like sleep here?
No. They don't have to sleep here. They all have their own places.
Do we have to provide snacks or anything?
So, I mean. Technically, but you're not paying for the snacks out of pocket. The council has a collection pot that they all kind of chip into, and it pays for the food. Yes.
Is there like a
upkeep?
Sure.
Is there like a guest list?
And they use the property. But it's ours.
But they only use it once a month.
I don't understand why you're having a problem with this. This is all perfectly normal for 1850s society. People can just come in and use your house when they give you a free house. This, I don't understand what's weird about this.
Is there some sort of registry or like guest list that we can check on for when the meetings happen to make sure we're only letting in council members?
Well, you see, that's kind of the thing, because since you guys aren't on the council, you don't know who's on the council yet.
Exactly.
If you are invited to a council meeting, then you will learn who is on the council.
So how do we know if it's council people coming in or just busybodies trying to, you know, eavesdrop?
Well, given how long I have been here, I will be able to tell you whether they're council people or not.
So you're on the council?
No. I am a helper of sorts.
But we're helpers.
But didn't you just say that only council members can know who other council members are?
Look, I think you're all missing the point of this.
This guy's real suspicious.
Maybe we shouldn't have let him stay here. I don't see why the council didn't just give him the inn.
Why did they give us the inn and not this guy?
He seems to be a council member anyway.
It almost feels like he just apparated because, you know.
Oh my god, Lynette fine. I will talk to you about information. Having you guys be on the council. Okay, is that fine? Is that better? Does that make it better? Are you happy now?
So we're
I
on
live
the
to
list.
Serve.
So when the council meetings are happening, if we're not part of the council, are we not allowed to use the general area? Like, should we be out of the inn or are we confined to our rooms?
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You shanghaied me.
Anyway, so how about that tour? How many bedrooms?
Yes, the bedrooms, the bedrooms. So as you've checked out the kitchen, which is a fairly spacious kitchen, there are two staircases to go upstairs. To the second level. There's a small one in behind kind of the kitchen, which you would assume is probably an old servant's kind of staircase to get upstairs. And there's a larger staircase from the sitting room upstairs. There are, let's say, a total of 5 bedrooms upstairs.
Bedrooms.
Yeah, we'll actually say that there's actually six, one of which is smaller, and Mr. Frisk basically kind of is just like, yeah, servants' quarters. That's kind of where I've been, you know, hanging out.
Do you want a bigger room?
I'm perfectly happy here.
Are you just saying that because you feel bad because you're, you know, the caretaker of the home, or do you actually like prefer that room?
I mean, bigger rooms give me anxiety, so I would prefer to stay in the smaller room.
Oh, okay. No one won't bring it up again.
Great. Well, I mean, Hillary, they'd have to wait until they can explore more to find that stuff out, right?
I saw dumb waiters and was like, asking if the waitstaff is dumb. Took me too long
to process. elevators for food and stuff.
The food elevators, yes, of course. Yes. My brain didn't think food elevator at first.
Her brain was still on Jim the horse and waiting for him to get off work.
Yeah. Which is, oh my god, 7 more hours.
You don't even know where he's going to be in 7 hours. He's going to be on the other side of the city.
I'll find him.
I want to get this basement.
Oh, yeah, the basement.
Okay.
The roomy basement.
He leads you down to a kind of, well, I mean, at this point, all it looks like is a dugout pit. The floor is dirt.
So it's a cellar, not a basement. Got it.
Essentially. But it expands kind of the entire length of the house. And actually potentially even slightly further. And Frisk is kind of... Frisk kind of looks at you and is just like, now, look, I know it's not much right now, but the old owners had talked about, you know, any kind of things that could go down here, potentially. To help out you guys...
Frisk.
Yes.
Where'd the old owners go?
Oh, that's a fascinating story. So the old owners, Mr. and Mrs. Montgomery, they used to run this inn up until very, very shortly ago when Mrs. Montgomery started to fall ill. And so the good sir, Thomas, decided to give up the property so that he could take his wife on some excursions, you know, to give her some entertainment towards the end of her life. She's still alive right now, though. They're off on a trip.
Yep. Vacationing. Why'd they have to give the place up if you're here taking care of it?
Well, I mean, they didn't have to. They just chose to so as not to need to worry about the building anymore. They knew that the society would take care of it somehow, and that it would still be here for them to kind of poke in and out of when kind of needed. And, you know, the society has helped them a lot in their life, so they kind of wanted to give back.
What kind of things worry them about the building?
Hillary, she's got the vapors. That's her mysterious illness.
The
vapors. She needs a lot of sea air.
So what is there to worry about in the building that would cause somebody to need to give up the building in order to, you know, vacation with their sick wife?
I mean, just maintenance costs? Buildings,
but I thought the society takes care of the maintenance costs.
They do now, because they own the building. When it was owned by the Montgomerys, they didn't. Nice try. Now I've shanghaied you. Back to this basement. You can build any sorts of rooms down here.
So much room for activities.
There is, really. If you've, if you guys end up with the means, I can, or with the money for it, I can ensure that any sorts of interesting places can be built down here for you to aid the society and thus yourselves.
Come up with the means if the society takes care of the building.
This is my clever way of noting the game mechanic of your headquarters and that you can actually do upgrades to it. I'm serious. You get to, like, have places built into the basement that will give you guys bonuses.
And I'm gonna write Chris down here as a friend.
Nobody talks. Nobody cares. Cody's just... Am I even playing this game with my friends at any point? Is this just me monologuing for 2 hours?
Asking questions? What are you talking about? Sorry, does this inn have a name?
Yes, it's Montgomery's Inn. So.
Might have to workshop that.
What are you hoping to call it?
I don't have hope. I said we might have to workshop it.
Oh, okay.
If I had ideas, we wouldn't need to workshop it. Do you know what workshopping means, Frisk?
No, please enlighten me.
I turn around and walk.
It's what we would like in the basement.
Ooh, a workshop in the basement? For work?
Could be a good idea.
And shopping.
Yes.
All right, but we better get to it.
Is there a yard?
Yes, there's quite the yard.
Frisk, take me to the yard.
He opens the front door and gestures vaguely to the property.
Is there a backyard?
Yes.
Is there a garden?
Yeah. Yeah, there is.
Is there a fountain?
A small one, yeah.
Are there hedges?
Surrounding the property, yeah.
Nice. And is there a bench in the garden?
Of course.
Okay, I'm out of questions about the place. Oh, yes. What's the kitchen like? Is there a cauldron?
Yes. Over the fire pit.
Perfect. Yeah. Oh, yes. Are there stables?
Yes, it's got stables.
Can't wait to talk to Char.
Apparently no horses in it.
Vacancies. Perfect.
Also, no stable master, so, you know.
There's also vacancies.
Yeah, Frisk. Why do we need a stable master?
So you expect man to be able to manage all the horses and manage the house, manage all the staff. Like,
there's more staff?
Well, eventually.
Oh, he's the staff.
So he's got to manage himself.
He's got to manage himself. That's big whoop.
Big whoop, she says. You tried to manage a household before? Look, your baby turkeys don't count, okay?
a farm, my dude.
It's not the same thing, is it? God.
Were yeah, as his empty stable is built. Is it super vacant inn that's no longer an inn? It's just an empty house with no animals, a stable with nothing. Ah, yes, he has so many responsibilities. Ooh.
Why do we do this?
Friendship,
yes. Yes. Friendship.
So you gotta...
Slowly melting down for 2 hours. Anyway, Frisk basically is just kind of like, okay, well, that was the tour of the house. The next council meeting is going to be within the next week. Like I said, I will talk to them about having you guys be invited. But until then, I will try and find you a cook and get some food.
Lovely.
Thought the council brought the food.
For the meeting.
No, they said they pay for the food.
I can get us food.
We supply the food, but they pay for the food with the little collection plate they have. Hunting trip?
So what do you guys do in the intervening week?
Hunting
I'm
trip.
I'm going to go hunting.
Great. So the Humber River provides a beautiful... kind of low-lying plains close to the river, where you can find any number of game. Deer jump amongst the grasses. There are a bunch of wild raccoons that chitter as they, you know, run around at night. A lot of rabbits. There'd be a lot of rabbits.
All right,
so you go hunting.
Yep.
Four.
What do you want to hunt for, Eagle? What do you want to eat?
Sorry. deer. Maybe some rabbits.
Okay.
Maybe
yes.
The most dangerous game of all.
Man.
A vazen.
Yes, but sadly it is a relatively quiet week. You do find more than enough deer and some rabbits. How many are you trying to kill within a week?
Do we have like a cold cellar or a...
I mean, the basement's pretty cold.
Room?
Yeah, I was gonna say the cellar must be pretty cold.
But yeah, there would also be probably a small cold cellar for food.
Yeah, okay. So I'll get enough to like stock the cold cellar.
Okay.
And I will assist.
Deer for that.
Yeah, we'll say what? Three deer.
Three deer.
Five or six rabbits.
That's gonna take us forever to eat.
Yep.
The good chemicals haven't been invented yet. Exactly. by the third day that you guys are kind of, you know, living in this inn now, Frisk kind of approaches you early in the morning. He's just kind of like, sorry, Master Eagle, I know you're eager to go hunting today. I've noticed that you rise early to do so, but I wanted to catch the two of you before you left. Because you guys have also been coming back late, and, you know, we haven't really had a moment to chat. But I wanted to let you know that I found a chef, a cook for us.
Why does he sound like our new dad, being like, we've been leaving early and coming in real late?
Well, I'm in charge of managing the house, and you know, that just includes making sure that you guys are safe too. So I'm just trying to be responsible.
Is he babysit us?
I think he's the butler.
Oh my god.
Perfect. When does the new cook start?
Butler, yes. I mean, he starts today, and you
What's
see
his
a,
name?
A you see a short and skinny man walk up, come bounding up the steps in a chef's hat. He's got a very thin, twiddly mustache, and he's just kind of like, "Bonjour."
Does he lift up his chef hat and look inside?
A rat under his hat.
He does not.
I put it back on his head. Where did you receive your training?
In France, of course, where the only place where the food is the best.
How many years of training?
7?
How old are you?
35?
Where were you born?
In Paris.
What's your mother's maiden name?
Oh god, I can't come up with a good French last name.
Do you have a mother?
Yes.
Were you an orphan?
Obviously I have a mother. Yes, I was orphaned. France in the early 1800s, everybody was orphans.
Perfect. What's the name of your first pet?
I did not have time for pets because I was too busy learning to cook.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
Being an orphan.
Yes. Favorite thing to cook?
Deer.
Good news.
Mm-hmm. Boy, do we have a treat for you. Well, there's lots of work waiting in the cellar for you.
Incroyable. I assume the deer have been properly dressed.
Obviously.
Excellent. Then there will be a delicious feast for you when you return today. And he runs off to the kitchen.
There's literally only deer in there. We have no vegetables or sides or anything.
You can't hunt vegetables.
I want to say that there you do have vegetables and stuff, because as Frisk said, he was also going to try and get you some food.
Yeah, it's just potatoes and onions. It's covered some potatoes and onions.
Yes.
Chef's going to lose his mind in there.
Yeah, so you go out for another day of hunting. Guessing you kill some rabbits and you come back. The chef, Jacques, has taken one of your deers, butchered it beautifully, and presents up a small feast. He's got, you know, he's cooked the deer ribs in like a pork rib style. He's got another set have been like crowned almost like a rack of lamb, like they're kind of wrapped in like a crown with part of the rib exposed through the top. There's a nice big like loin roast, and of course there's a bunch of potatoes and onions, because that's all there is.
Excellent.
Just the way I like my meals.
With no fiber.
Exactly. Who needs fiber? Fibers for the weak.
Yeah, it's 1850. They don't know what fiber is yet.
I eat.
Good.
Do you think Frisk found a French chef in Toronto?
He's probably from Lower Canada.
He's actually from Quebec. He does not pretend he's from France.
You're not going to know the difference. Have you been to France?
Wow.
How did we get to North America again?
Now you came via England. That's true.
Okay. I don't know. I napped the whole time. I eat the onions.
Okay.
So, when do we get to find out about these expeditions that Frisk was talking about?
So, the night of the council meeting finally approaches. Frisk talks to you the morning of and is kind of like, guys, great news. I found out that there is actually a bit of a loophole, and you two do automatically get to sit on the council, which is great.
The town council?
No, the society council. The council
council. Oh.
Yes. The council council.
We don't care about the town.
the castle master is required to sit on the council and seeing his
masters.
Yes, yes. It will be a shared title. For the two of you. It will probably be a smaller council meeting this time. Because your GM did not think you were going to get this far and so has not actually fleshed out the council.
Wow, he had no faith in us.
He was kind of hoping you guys were going to ask more questions about other things beforehand, which you didn't do.
When do we ever do what you expect us to do?
But now I'm going to make up a bunch of people and then you're going to expect me to remember them and or...
I'm taking notes.
Mm-hmm. Fresh so page for all these names.
I'm just gonna keep digging my own grave.
Don't worry, I've got a lot of information about Jacques written down too.
Good. That's good. Okay. He gives you a small kind of presentation.
PowerPoint?
A small presentation. It's 1850. There's no PowerPoints. He doesn't even give it to you on a piece of paper. He talks to you about it.
Theater of the mind. Perfect.
Yes, using oral tradition.
It's okay. I don't think Egil can read.
Yeah. I don't think Egil can read either.
So, he mentions that Mr. and Mrs. Montgomery will be back for the meeting. Currently, they still occupy the positions of treasurer and librarian for the council.
Effectively, or?
Sorry?
Which one's treasurer, which one's librarian?
Mr. Montgomery is treasurer, and Mrs. Montgomery is a librarian. There is also the custodian who will be showing up. He is a local doctor, one Dr. Jules Bathory. He works locally within the Weston area here.
Local doctors usually work locally.
Yep. And finally, the current president of the society is one Madam Lees Tippett.
Tippett.
Yes. Yes, she is a local businesswoman and entrepreneur, and currently serves as president of the council.
What business does she run?
Sorry?
What businesses does she run?
She runs the local the local cart making business. She makes buggies for horses and buggies. It's weird, you know, because...
Pretty progressive for 1850.
Yeah, I know. Now, we have noticed that Toronto has a higher than what we would call average number of buggies being broken down and in need of replacement. But
probably the cobblestone roads.
Yeah, that must be it. We're just gonna gloss over that fact. It has made Miss Tippett quite wealthy.
I see.
He might be Hillary. You might have to keep watching and see.
Ooh. Serial killers in our midst?
Well.
They're telling us not to trust this person, but they're coming to our home. And also they pay for our food. Our potatoes and onions, at least.
During the meetings. They're not paying for
you. Oh, they only pay for the meeting food.
Yes.
Oh, I forgot about that.
What did you give them?
I know, but it's on the back of this page, and I'm on this side of it right now. I missed that.
Oh, my God.
Is Dr. Jules Bathory a lady?
No, it is a man. He is a man.
Hmm. Nice.
I mean, I think so.
Family?
What do you mean?
Jules have family?
Does he have family? No. Not here, not yet. He's a young, in his mid-20s. Been in the Weston area for a couple of years now. His practice has been fairly stable.
What's his area of practice? Like general physician, specialist of some sort?
It is 1850. He is a doctor.
Yeah, but does he do a lot of something?
It is 1850. He is a doctor.
I feel like we're going to find out he's a veterinarian.
Have you tracked us down any horses in the week that we've been...
Sorry?
Staying here?
Oh my gosh, I forgot to go see Charles.
Well, no, it's too late. The week has passed. You've been too busy. You asked all these questions about him and then just let it slip out of your mind. Charles has moved on. He is now living the upper crust horse life in Montreal. He has been touted upriver.
What?
Yep.
You know, I thought
telling me this boy's
a little big when I shot it.
Now I'm actually lying because I'm trying to save face for the fact that Charles was obviously an older horse, and so by
no,
talking
he was
about,
four.
I'm
I have it right here.
Well, that's what they told you. That might not be true. And I'm using the euphemism of going to Montreal probably to mean going to the glue factory, but. You know.
Hold on. You telling me that bitch in the wagon lied to me? Good thing we didn't ask her too many questions, because, oh my god, is she a fibber.
Yes, thank you, DLC. That's what I don't understand. A doctor in 1850 is just a doctor. That's all there is to
it. Like, he's being a bonsai in his bag.
That's it.
Yes.
So yes, Charlie has moved on. He has forgotten about you.
There's no way he could have forgot me.
Well, fine. We're going to move on to the council meeting day then. Oh my god. I am not prepared for any of this. But
well, you won't let me track down the horse, so council meeting it up.
You forgot the horse. You forgot about the horse. This was your fault.
You forgot the horse. You knew I wanted to go see him when he got off work at 8.
I didn't forget shit.
Just to prepare the council meeting.
Yeah. I wasn't...
I'm sorry, Cody.
Oh, no, they're totally going to take 2 hours asking questions about the depth of this society and about the beautiful
of it.
Nope, nobody cares. Anyway, we're moving to the council.
I want
to
know about the horse and the garden, and that's it.
Great.
And I just
Yeah. He just wants to hunt.
Great. Anyway, it is the night of the council meeting. The group is assembled.
Hold on. Is there a dress code for council meetings?
Yes.
Because I only got one outfit. Did you run errands and collect appropriate attire for the council meeting?
Yes, of course he did.
Perfect. I put it on and I assume I am extremely uncomfortable.
Probably.
Because there's no way clothes in 1850 are comfortable.
Of course. It also probably hasn't been tailored properly yet, because you just kind of tasked him with just finding things, and then...
You saying I looked frumpy?
No. Just that it fits oddly. Hillary, I did. I had a whole storyline for the horse, and it's gone now, because nobody cared.
I cared so much about that horse.
Nobody cares about the poor horse.
You put that sentence back in your mouth right now, mister.
No, there's no robes, there's no masks. Everybody's just wearing, you know, decently kind of, they're dressed up. Like, it's kind of slightly formal, but not overly formal. Like you'd wear to a nice dinner type thing.
What colors is everybody wearing?
Eagle's definitely going to continue to wear his hunting furs.
Great. I don't know. Mr. Montgomery is in blue. Mrs. Montgomery is wearing purple.
Ooh, not matching.
With the knife in the study?
No. Dr. Bathory is wearing green.
Mm-hmm.
And Ms. Tippett is wearing brown.
I thought it was Madam Tippett.
It is Madam Tippett.
Ms. Madam.
And what color am I wearing?
Puce. It's a color. Don't look at me like that.
A word.
No.
I know it's a color.
I don't. What the heck is puce?
It's like pink. It's like a dusty pink. Yeah. Didn't you ever watch Monsters, Inc.? The puce form goes to Roz.
Puce is a brownish purple color.
I guess.
Describe puce. We're working.
I think it's like a dirty pink.
If you want the hex triplet, it's CC8899. So there you go for all you hue nerds out there. But there are variations. The ISCC. Dictionary of Color in 1955 makes it more of a dark purple.
I guess it is described as a...
Yeah.
Brownish purple.
Yeah.
I'd call that a pink looking at it, though, but that's just me. What color
Welcome
are your
to our
furs?
Color show.
Gil?
Brownish purple.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia calls it.
They're
brownish purple.
Fur-colored.
Yeah, but like, what kind of furs are you wearing?
Brown furs.
I mean, they'd be like treated leathers. With probably
first,
like...
leather. I want to say eagles is like... It's got to be a bear.
It'd be leathers, but with like furs draped over it. Like,
yeah.
How many layers you got going on?
You can see it being a bear, though. It's too warm for a bear this time of year.
Yeah. But it would make you look really badass.
That is true. Imagine the like bear paw mittens you could have.
Anyway, the two of you enter the sitting room where the group has already been gathered together. And Ms. Tippett is the first one to notice the two of you and look at Eagle and just be like, well, looks like somebody decided to buck decorum.
Are there chairs? Eagle will just sit.
Yeah, there's chairs.
There's couches.
Yep. Great. Mr. Montgomery would just kind of wave to the two of you and just kind of be like, well, I'm glad to see that the old house is still in decent condition. Frisk is obviously taking care of you guys and everything in here.
Yes.
Great. Good. I'm glad to hear it. Mrs. Montgomery just kind of stays seated. She looks a little bit gaunt. She's got a fan, maybe, trying to kind of control her vapors.
Is vapors contagious?
Maybe you should ask the doctor.
I don't want to. That would be an uncomfortable question.
Who is just...
I want to know what I know about vapors.
Sitting at his own table. He's got glasses on. He's staring intently at some kind of a file that he's reading.
Does he look like he's avoiding the vapor lady?
No, just avoiding people in general.
Okay.
Mr. Montgomery stands up and is kind of like, well, good, now that we're all in attendance here, as treasurer, I would like to... Or no, sorry. I think I'm mixing this up. It should be
Mr. Montgomery.
Ms. Montgomery as the librarian.
Yeah, Ms. Montgomery is the librarian.
Starting
Mr.
Meeting.
Montgomery is the treasurer.
Do we have a library?
Librarian. She keeps records of things.
I don't think we
have a library.
I think she has a library.
She has a library. We're in her house.
I don't know. Yeah. Somewhere. Maybe it's a thing you could get. Maybe you could move the records here. They're currently in storage somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, she's kind of... She instead starts the meeting and says, well, now that everybody's here, we can get started. I want to say welcome to our two new castle masters. Go ahead and introduce yourselves to the group.
I give Eagle an elbow to the ribs.
I'm Eagle.
And I'm Ingrid.
Great. Now, obviously, you both have been brought into the fold because you have gifts similar to the rest of us. We all understand the beautiful, symbiotic relationship between humans and the folklore that we've been able to come to know and love. Now our job as the council is to seek out any situations where, you know, those creatures in particular are causing some issues, and look to see if we can help out in any such way. Keep the society kind of, you know, fighting the good fight, we like to say. Isn't that right, guys? Kind of looks around and her husband like nods and thumbs up, but nobody else really responds. Okay, great. Well, does anybody have a rumor or something that we would like to discuss to potentially, you know, figure out where our next expedition would be? For the two of you, I should mention that, you know, our last expedition was so successful. They found paramount in getting a disgruntled brownie to stop waxing the legs of a local townsman while he slept. He, of course, didn't know what was going on, just woke up with no hair on his legs and rashes everywhere. But we were able to help him, and it's what we do. We do it for helping people.
He was getting his legs waxed in the night?
Yes, that's what was happening. Well, you know, because the brownies are impish little creatures, and they like to do household chores and cleaning and stuff, but they require...
And waxing.
Well, I mean, they require small gifts from people in the house, but if the people don't know that they're there, or choose not to give them any kind of, you know, gifts in response, they can get a little bit mischievous, we could say.
Got it. Sorry, carry on with the rumors.
Ms. Tippett basically is the only one who's kind of like, well, I mean, really, I'm just waiting for when the group is going to get serious enough to send somebody out to the frontier to take on the bloodthirsty situation that's still been going on out there. Mr. Montgomery is kind of like, now, come on, we all know that that's got to be some kind of a hoax. Nobody's experienced anything like that before. It seems utterly hyperbolic, and you know, if it's not, then it's just incredibly dangerous, and we're a very small council here. I don't think we can support the manpower for such an expedition.
We'll go.
What?
I think he wants you to say it louder, Eagle.
We'll go.
Really? And Ms. Tippett kind of looks at you intriguingly. Okay. Well, if that's be very much in your debt if this was something that you were to undertake, for the good of the society, of course, and the council at large. We'll have our treasurer here put together a list of supplies that would be necessary for the expedition and the funds necessary to help get you out there, and we want to send you with somebody to be able to record the journey. So I figure we plan and settle on reviewing and starting the expedition at our council meeting next month. Well, hearing no objections, then I guess that's it for the meeting tonight.
Eagle, do I say meeting adjourned? Is that what we do? We're hosting, right? What?
I don't think so.
I've never hosted something before. I don't know. Do we stand up?
I'll stand up.
Great.
And begin to leave.
Yeah. I follow Eagle.
Frisk immediately is like running up behind the two of you as you leave, and just like, really? You just get a hold of this place and now you're going to run off and do something ridiculous?
What we're here for?
Tied to the building.
No, but you don't understand. She's been bringing up this situation for months now, and everybody's agreed that it's just too dangerous. Like, why would you want to go and potentially get, like, destroyed by the native peoples out in the frontier?
Like, the kind of thing you should have kind of prepped us with before the council meeting?
Well, why? There's no need.
And they just said, hey, expedition. So we're like, cool, we'll go. We get to go on expeditions!
Yeah, okay. Just do me a favor. If the two of you die out there, can you just, like, I don't know, leave the house to somebody who maybe has a little bit more wherewithal, survival instinct?
What do you mean? Jacques gets the house if we die.
What?
I will put my hand on Frisk's shoulder, and I will say no.
Great.
Jacques and I became buds after he made me some banging onions.
Yes,
so.
Of course. Okay, I'm going to have to stop here, I think, because I can only make up so many things for one night. And now I have a whole new adventure I have to write before we play next week. Great. But
did you not think we were going to go on this expedition now, too?
You guys are like three sessions ahead of where we play Mothership, and you guys spend four frickin' sessions like stuck in a base, not wanting to move forward. And then we get in.
What do you want, Cody? You want us dilly dallying, or you want us zooming on down the road? Because you can't have both.
You're right. It's ridiculous of me.
And no way in heck are we going anywhere in the middle.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Well,
we got two speeds. It's a crawl and a see you next month.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, guys, this has been a chaotic episode of Corporate Crash Course. Still enjoying Vazen. I hope everybody else is too. This one got a little weird, but oh well. It is what it is.
This one got weird. We killed a guy last one.
Yeah, that's true. So for now, I guess, again, you can find us on wherever you get podcasts. Our Mothership Adventures are up there right now. You can also find us on YouTube and Twitch here at Corporate Crash Course. And we're at CCCRPGs on Instagram and on Twitter. So we'll see you next week where we figure out what is going on and what I've made up. So, bye, guys.